Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
Today we're looking into something pretty interesting, actually. It's a different way to interact with one of the biggest websites out there.
Yeah, we're talking about YouTube, but through a different lens.
Exactly. We're diving into something called Invidious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for this deep dive, we're mostly pulling from the project's own words,
mm-hmm.
you know, the descriptions on their GitHub page, where the code lives, and also bits from their official website.
Right, going straight to the source.
Our goal here is really to unpack what Invidious actually is. Why would someone use it instead of, you know, regular YouTube?
And what are the key features?
Yeah, exactly. And we want to make it easy to understand, even if you've never heard terms like alternative front end before. It should make sense.
Absolutely. Keep it approachable.
Before we really get into it, though, just a quick thank you to our sponsor. This deep dive is supported by SafeServer. SafeServer is great because they actually handle hosting for this exact kind of software, you know, open source stuff. They can really help out if you're looking at your own digital transformation projects.
So if you need hosting or support,
you can find out more at www.safeserver.de. Just type that in, www.safeserver.de.
To know.
Okay, so let's tackle this term, alternative front end.
Right.
What are we actually talking about here when we say that about YouTube?
Well, the project itself calls Invidious an open source alternative front end to YouTube.
Right.
So think about the normal YouTube website or the app on your phone. That's the usual front end. It's the interface, right? How it looks, how you click around, how you watch videos.
The part you actually see and use.
Exactly. Invidious is, well, it's a completely different interface built by a totally separate group of people.
Okay.
It still connects you to the same videos, the huge library on YouTube. It just presents everything, lets you interact through its own design, its own rules almost.
And it's open source, you mentioned.
Yeah, that's key. Open source means the code, the blueprint for how it's built, is public. Anyone can look at it, use it, even suggest changes or contribute.
So it's not run by, like, a big corporation with the same motives as YouTube itself.
Precisely. This different team, this community, they have different priorities, different goals for what the experience should be like.
Okay, and that leads to the really interesting question, I think. Why bother?
Right.
If the regular YouTube site is right there, why use this different doorway? What's the draw?
Well, the benefits the Invidious project emphasizes really come down to giving you, the user, more control and just a very different feel.
Okay. Like what?
A huge one, probably the biggest for many, is privacy.
Always a big topic.
Definitely. Yeah. The sources say it's privacy focused. They explicitly state it aims to protect you from the prying eyes of Google.
No.
And features no tracking. So on regular YouTube, pretty much everything you watch, click on, search for it, it's tracked, logged, linked to your account.
Yeah, for recommendations, ads, all that stuff.
Right. Invidious tries to act as a shield there. When you use it, the idea is your viewing habits aren't being scooped up and tied back to a big Google profile in the same way.
So you can watch without leaving quite so many digital footprints behind for, you know, data collection.
Exactly. It's about separating the watching from the harvesting, you could say.
Okay, privacy is a big one. What else? What's another really practical benefit?
One that pretty much everyone notices right away. No ads.
Oh, really? No ads at all?
The documentation is clear. Invidious allows you to watch videos without being disturbed by annoying ads.
Wow.
They even mention it supports sponsor block, which is slightly different. That's about skipping sponsored segments inside videos. But
yeah,
the main point is the platform ads. Gone.
So no pre-roll ads, no mid-roll interruptions.
Nope. That alone makes the viewing experience totally different for a lot of people.
I can imagine. That's huge. Okay, so privacy, no ads. What about just using it? How does it feel compared to standard YouTube? Is it just like bare bones?
Not necessarily bare bones, but definitely different by design. They describe it as lightweight.
Lightweight, meaning?
Probably faster loading, less demanding on your computer or phone. They also mention no JavaScript required for basic viewing. Now, that's a bit technical.
Yeah, what does that mean for me, the user?
It generally means things might load quicker, especially if you have a slower internet connection or maybe an older device. It uses fewer resources.
Okay.
And they also talk about it being ethically designed. They use the term humane design.
Humane design. That sounds interesting.
The idea, it seems, is to help you regain focus. So the interface isn't constantly trying to grab your attention, autoplay the next thing, keep you scrolling forever.
Fighting against the infinite scroll and the algorithms designed to keep you glued.
Kind of, yeah. It feels more designed for you to watch what you intended to watch rather than getting sucked down a rabbit hole more intentional.
That really speaks to how some people feel overwhelmed by modern platforms. So Invidious offers a different philosophy there.
Exactly. And that ties into another aspect, independence, how it handles things like subscriptions and accounts.
Oh, right. You don't need a Google account.
You can create accounts within Invidious itself and build playlists. But crucially, the sources say this is without needing a YouTube account.
So my list of channels I follow, my saved videos, it all lives just within Invidious.
Yes. Your subscriptions are independent from Google. You can basically build your own little YouTube world without ever logging into Google.
That's a level of like digital autonomy you don't often get on the big platform.
Precisely. And it's not like it's missing features either. The sources list things you'd expect. Light and dark themes.
Always popular.
Right. A customizable homepage, so you see what you want first. Mm. Notifications for channels you subscribe to.
Okay.
And a really neat one, an audio-only mode.
Oh, like for playing music or podcasts?
Yeah. And it can even play in the background on mobile devices, so you can listen with the screen off.
That's super useful.
Definitely. And it can even pull in Reddit comments for videos sometimes, which is an alternative discussion source. Plus, lots of language translations thanks to volunteers.
Wow. Okay. That's actually a pretty complete package for an alternative.
Hmm.
So if someone's listening and thinking, all right, I'm curious, I want to check this out, what's the easiest way? Do I need to download code and be a tech wizard?
No, not at all. This is where the quick start plug they mentioned is perfect for beginners. You absolutely do not need to install anything yourself just to try it.
Okay, good. So how does it work then?
Well, because it's open source, lots of different people and groups run their own public versions of the Invidious software. These are called instances.
Instances. Okay, like different public servers running the same software.
That's it, exactly. So the easiest way to get started is just to find one of these public instances. The project website usually has a list.
Ah, so there's a list somewhere.
Yep. You literally just select a public instance from the list and start watching videos right now. Click a link. It opens in your web browser like any other site, and boom, you're using Invidious.
No installation needed just to watch.
Nope. Super easy to just test the waters.
That is really low friction. Just pick a server from a list and you're off. But I assume for people who are more technical, the option to host it yourself is there.
Oh, absolutely. The full documentation is available if you want to get into the weeds, set up your own private instance on your own server, or even contribute code back to the project.
Makes sense.
And you mentioned something earlier that helps make it seamless. Browser extensions.
Yes, the sources mentioned those too.
Yeah.
Tools like browser add-ons.
Yeah, they often recommend things like one called Privacy Redirect. The idea is simple. You install this little add-on in your browser.
Okay.
And then if you click a regular YouTube link anywhere, say in an email and social media, whatever, or if a website has a YouTube video embedded, the extension can automatically send you to an Invidious instance instead of the main YouTube site.
Oh, clever. So it routes you to the alternative automatically.
Pretty much. It helps you kind of default to using Invidious without having to consciously think about it every single time.
That's a neat way to integrate it. Okay, so we've covered the what, the why, the how to start. You touched on this briefly, but that technical point about APIs does not use official YouTube APIs. Can you elaborate just a bit on why that's important?
Yeah, it's actually pretty crucial to how Invidious works. APIs, application programming interfaces, are basically the official approved ways that companies let other software talk to their services.
Like an official handshake.
Kind of, yeah. The documented, supported way to request data or embed things. Invidious, the sources say, specifically doesn't use these official YouTube APIs.
So it's going around the official channels.
In a sense, it has to figure out other ways to access the video streams and the information about them. This is how it can do things like, well, avoid delivering the ads that the official API might enforce or handle user data differently.
Because it's not playing by YouTube's official rule set for developers.
Exactly. It gives it independence, but it also means it's potentially a more complex path. Sometimes things might break if YouTube changes how things work unofficially, but it's fundamental to offering that different, more private, ad-free experience.
So it's a deliberate choice, a trade-off, to gain that independence and offer those features.
Precisely. And as we said, it's truly open source. The license is the AGPL 3.0, that's a copyleft license, which often encourages sharing improvements back with the community.
And you mentioned contributors before.
Yeah, the sources listed, I think, 348 contributors. That's a lot of people involved. It really shows it's a community effort.
That's impressive. A global community building this thing.
It is, but with that kind of decentralized community thing, there are some important caveats. warnings almost, especially about liability.
Ah, okay. What do the sources say there?
They're very clear. There's a statement saying the project creators take no responsibility for the use of our tool or external instances provided by third parties.
Meaning, just because the code is out there, they don't control every single server someone sets up using it.
Exactly. Anyone can host an instance, so they can't guarantee how reliable or trustworthy every single public server is.
Right. Use public instances with awareness.
And they also strongly recommend you abide by the valid official regulations in your country. They explicitly refuse liability for any inappropriate use, and they mention illegal downloading as an example.
So the tool is there to watch videos available on YouTube, but it's on you, the user, to make sure you're using it legally and responsibly where you live.
Spot on. The responsibility lies with the user. They say it's provided in the spirit of free, open software. Think freedom to use, study, modify, not freedom to break laws.
That's a crucial distinction. Okay, so let's try and pull this all together for you, the listener.
Yeah, let's recap.
We've looked at NVIDIA's. It's this alternative way, an alternative front end for YouTube.
Right, same videos, different interface.
And its big selling points seem to be prioritizing your privacy, cutting out the tracking as much as possible.
Getting rid of those disruptive ads.
And offering an experience that's designed to be maybe calmer, less distracting, more focused.
Yeah, lightweight, customizable, ethically designed.
Plus, it's open source, built by a community, and lets you manage your subscriptions and playlists without needing a Google account.
Giving you that independence.
So, understanding what NVIDIA's is tells you something important, doesn't it? It shows there are alternatives out there, even for massive platforms.
Absolutely. It shows that different choices exist, built on different values, privacy, user control, no ads. It gives you options for how you engage with online video and manage your sort of digital life.
Which does raise a question maybe for you to think about. What does it actually mean for you that these kinds of alternatives can exist alongside the giants?
Yeah, what does that possibility signify?
It definitely makes you pause, right?
Right.
If communities can build tools like this, focusing on privacy and user control, instead of, say, maximizing engagement time or data capture, what does that tell us about the trade-offs we usually just accept on the standard platforms? And maybe more personally, how much value do you put on having that choice, that control in your own online experience?
It's definitely something to mull over.
Indeed. Well, that brings us to the end of this particular deep dive into NVIDIA's. Thanks so much for joining us to explore this.
Yeah, hope it was useful.
And remember, this deep dive was supported by SafeServer. If you're looking for hosting, maybe for your own projects, or need support with digital transformation, check them out at www.safeserver.de.
That's SASERVER.DE.
Right.
And as the NVIDIA's project shows, if you are interested in learning more, there's plenty of documentation out there, and that list of public instances is waiting if you want to give it a spin yourself. Lots more to explore.
Absolutely. We hope you found this insightful. We look forward to digging into more fascinating information with you next time on The Deep Dive.